Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf lamed zayin, and we are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf lamed vav omid bey. Zok the Mishnah. Sanhedrin hoysa kechatzi goyron agula. The Sanhedrin, Rashi says, even the Sanhedrin of Kav Gimel, meaning certainly the Sanhedrin agadol, but even the Sanhedrin ketana, when they would sit in a semicircle. Kidei, the reason was, so each member of the Sanhedrin should be able to see each other. And there were two scribes, they worked for the courts, that would stand in front of them. Echad miyamin, one would be to the right of the semicircle, echad mismoil, the other one would be to the left. The koisvin, and they would write, divrei mechayvin, v'divrei mezakin. They were stenographers. Their job was to write everything that the Bali Din and everything that the Dayanim would say. Rabbi Yehuda would say Shloisha. There were three seifrim. Echad Koisev Divrei HaMezakin. One would write the Divrei HaMezakin. The Echad Koisev Divrei HaMechayim. The other one's job was to write the opinions of everyone that said Chayiv. HaShlishi. And the third person, Koisev Divrei HaMezakin, the Divrei HaMechayim. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two seifrim that would write the Divrei HaMezakin and two seifrim that would write the Divrei HaMechayim. And there were three rows of Talmid Chachamim that would sit in front of the Bezin. Each person would know his place, meaning the order of how these Dayanim were situated mattered. You couldn't just sit down wherever you wanted, but rather you had to be in a very specific seat, and it was based on what your chashivus was. Now, what was the point of these three shuras of Talmid Chachamim in the event that they had to add an extra dayan? Now, why would they have to add an extra dayan? So the pashut case always is, in the event that one of the dayanim said, Eini yodeya, so meisif and oichnayim, they would add another two. So where would those two dayanim come from? They would come from these two shuras. So in the event they needed to add, soim chimen abrishayna, they would take somebody from the first row. Now, once they took someone from the first row, there's an empty seat. How do you fill that vacancy? So you would think, bring someone from the street, go to Beis Medrash, find somebody, and sit him down in the chair where that is now empty because somebody was just promoted, somebody just joined the Sanhedrin. But that's not what they did. What they did was, Echad ben Ashniya bo Rishayna, somebody from the second row would go onto the first row, Echad ben Ashlishes bo Rishayna, and then somebody from the third row would go to the second row, and then they would find somebody from outside, they would put him on the third row. In other words, everybody would move up one chair. So the chair that was held vacant wasn't the chair closest to the Dayanim on the first row, but actually was the last chair on the third row. So, in other words, there was a very specific place that each person had to sit. So the Mishnah says that there were three shurais of Talmidei Chachamim. The purpose of these three shurais were, these were the backup Dayanim. In the event that we had to add to the Bezdin of Chav Gimel, you would add from there. Now Rashi says, how many people sat on each one of these rows? 23. So we know it from earlier in the Masechta. There were 23 Dayanim that sat on each one of these rows. In other words, there were 69 backups. Now really, Rashi says, we didn't need 69 backups. Because the whole purpose of adding Dayanim is in the event that there's a hung jury. So for example, you have a Bezdin Chav Gimel, if 11 would say Zakai, 11 would say Chayiv, and one would say Eini Yodea. So you'd have to add another two. What if the two would be split? One would say Zakeh, one would say Chayiv. You would have to add another two. If again they would play split, one would say Zakeh, one would say Chayiv. Again you would have to add another two. But this doesn't go on forever. This would go up until 71. Once they came to 71, and it's a Mishnah really in the next parak, once they got to 71, at that point they would have to fight it out and try to come up with some sort of reconciliation. But you never added beyond 71. That means if you started with 23, and the maximum that you're going to go up to is 71, so how many backups do you really need? 48. So if you need 48, why'd they add 69? So Rashi says, it's the top Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph that there was a practical issue. Because if they were going to have 48, and you wanted to divide them into shurois, so says Rashi, you can't divide them into two shurois, because 48 divided by 2 would be 24. You'd have 24 people sitting in each row. The row of Dayanim, the Bezdin itself, was 23. And the backup is 24? It's a bigger, more impressive row? It can't be. So there's no way you can make two rows of 24. To take 48 divided by 3 and make three rows of 16 is also not good, because it's going to be less. To say that let's make two rows of 23 and then you'll have the third row of two, that's also not good, because why should you have a third row that's smaller than the other two rows? So people apparently took this very, very seriously. So you can't have 2 of 24, you can't have 3 of 16, you can't have 2 of 23 and 1 of 2, so you have no choice but to have 3 of 23, and what you end up with is a lot of interns, a lot of people that are getting shimush, a lot of people that are sitting in front of the dayana, but it's 3 shuros, 23 of each, says the Gemara. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was that the Sanhedrin sat kechatzi goyrin agula. How do you know they sat in a semicircle? It's learned out from the following pasuk. A pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Shorech agan hasar, al yechsar hamozeg, bitnech arimas chitim, suga bashe shana. So the pasuk is in the context of what the entire Shir HaShirim is talking about. But the Gemara darshins this as follows. Shorech zu Sanhedrin. Shorech, like the stomach area is referring to the Sanhedrin. And Lama Nikishma Shorech. Why would the Sanhedrin called Shorech Sheyeshevas Pitibur Shalek? Because it's just like the stomach, the belly button. That's the middle of the person's body. So too, the Sanhedrin sat in the Lishkas Hagozes, which was on the Har HaBayis in the Makom HaMikdash, which is the center of the world. Agan, why was it called Agan, Miloshin, Melech Oizer, Umeshia, Umogen, Shi Migina, Koloilum Kuloi, because it protected the world. Hasar, this is your eclipse reference in today's daf. Why was it referred to as the moon? Shehidoyim Elisar, because it was like the moon. Al Yechsar Hamezek, what does that mean? Shemhutzer Kachamim Lotz, if one member of the Sanhedrin Gadol had to leave, Royim, we would say, Im Yesh Esr Vishleisha Keneget Sanhedrin Ketano, Yoitze, if he was going to leave behind 23 days, I mean, there had to be at least 23 dayanim at all times in the Lishkas Hagozes. If somebody wanted to leave, take a day off, PTO, it was okay. As long as not everybody left. How many people have to remain? There had to be at least 23 dayanim. Them love. And if not, ene yoytze kenli. Bitna charim aschitin. What does that mean? Ma rim aschitin. Hakol nehenemi menu. Everyone has enough from him. Af Sanhedrin. So to the Sanhedrin. Hakol nehenemi tameim. Everybody would be netted from their time. So the Sanhedrin is like a rim aschitin. It's like a bundle of wheat. Everybody enjoys wheat. One likes carbs. So too, Sanhedrin, I call Nenemi Tameim, everybody, hashtag donuts, I call Nenemi Tameim, everybody benefited, everybody had anah from their time. It's interesting. So I saw the Marsha says that the Pasuk says, Shorech Agan Hasar al Yechsar Hamezek. So the Pasuk is referring to the Sanhedrin. Hasar is the moon, and it's from here we learn that the Sanhedrin used to sit Kechatzi Goyrin. They would sit in a semicircle. Freak the Marsha, why a semicircle? The moon is not a semicircle. The moon is round. Now, sometimes when you look up at the moon, you see what appears to be a semicircle. But that's just based on where it is relative to the sun, based on the way it's reflecting from the sun's light. But in reality, the moon is a full circle. So Freak the Marsha, if the Pasuk is Shorech Agan Hasar, Al Yechsar Hamezek, so why would that be a makar for the Sanhedrin to sit in a semicircle? It should be a makar for the Sanhedrin to sit in an entire circle, says the Marsha Gavali. If the Pasuk wanted to say that the Sanhedrin is supposed to sit in a circle, it would have compared the Sanhedrin to the sun. This is Mamish, the solar eclipse right here. We would have compared it to the sun, because the sun is always round. Unless there's an eclipse. But you always see it as a perfect circle. The moon, sometimes you see it as a perfect circle. Sometimes you see it as a semicircle. From the fact that we compare it to the moon and not to the sun, as I say, Maris, we want what's unique about the appearance of the moon, which is kechatzi goyrin. Either way, Zokta Gemara, suga b'sheishanim. So the end of that pasuk says, suga b'sheishanim. And what does that mean? Shafilu kisuga shoshoshanim lo yifru tzehem peratzos. That if the Sanhedrin implements a fence, even if it's made of roses, it's not a very strong fence, but it's strong enough to protect the yid from doing an avera. Meaning a little harchaka, a little gzeirah d'rabbanan can protect Yidden from doing averos that maybe they would have a tremendous taiva to do. Amritu, you say, Issa Yichud is a very big deal in Jewish law. At the same time, a man is allowed to be miyachid with his wife when she's a nida. So this min, this herit, asked Rav Kahana, I don't understand. To the extent that you're concerned that there may be a bias iser, why is there no iser yichud when it comes to a nida? Now, by the way, in halacha, there is one time a man's not allowed to be miyachid with his wife if she's a nida, and that is if there was no bir rishayna. So if a man gets married and his wife is a nida at the time of the chasana, so that's a problem. Then there's an iser yichud, it's a gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Ksubas. But once they were married already, once there was a bir rishayna, at that point there's no iser. So the min asked Rav Kahana, he doesn't understand why. And his question was, Efsher, ish bin oiris, if you put five fire next to flax. It's not going to cause a fire. Meaning, there's going to be fire. There's going to be taifa. How could you prevent an avera from taking place? Amalei told him back, the Torah was made. Suga b'sheishanim. Shafilu kisuga b'sheishanim. Lo yirfu tzehem protzois. And there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yerideya, siman kuf tzadik hei. All the harchokos that a man and a woman are supposed to observe at the time of nida. And even though it's a suga, it's a fence that's not bulletproof. There's no barbed wire. It's made out of roses. It's sheishanim. But at the same time, it protects, and that's why we don't have to worry. Shlokesh had the same exact idea, and he said it from somewhere else. In other words, in Suga b'sheishanim, you see another idea, says the Gemara. You see that Yidden, even Yidden that are willing to do averes, but if you protect them even a little bit of a reminder, a harchaka, a suga that's even kishayshanim, that will be enough to get them to stop. Which speaks of the greatness of the yid that's willing to do the avera. Which yid needs the suga? The yid that's going to do an avera. And even that yid, a suga bishayshanim, would be enough. So Rish Lakish said that I have that same musr that I could take out from somewhere else. The pasuk says also in Shir Hashirim, Rakosech kefelach harimoin. Kefelach harimoin rakosech. And he darshan that for the reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimoin, that even yidden that are rake, they're empty, they're bali avera, but they're still full of mitzvahs like a rimoin. Why a rimoin? Presumably based on the idea that a rimoin has 613 garinim, kaminyan, taryag. But either way, malei mitzvahs kerimoin. And they help Rav Zeira learned it from a third pasuk. Vayorech esreich begadav. It says that when Yaakov came, he's stealing the brachas, so to speak, from Esav. So Yitzchak smells reich begadav. And Rav Zeira taiched al tukiv begadav ala boigdav. That he smelled the good scent that comes from the boigdim, the ones that do averas. So you see that even a yid that's holding by doing averas, but vayorech esreich boigdav, says the Gemara, hani b'riyoni tabi shavuzet Rav Zeira. There were bad guys that lived in Rav Zeira's neighborhood. The Havi Makarav Lehu. And Rav Zeira would do kiruv to them. Ki hechi dinahav the Lehu betufta. And what was Rav Zeira's end game? He was trying to get them to do tshuva. Vahavi kafti rabbanu. Listen to this. The rabbanu were not happy. They disapproved of Rav Zeira's association with these people. He held Rav Zeira, why are you spending time with them? Why are you talking to them? These are biryonim. You should not be spending time with them. I understand you're doing kiruv. They're never going to come from. Absolutely not. Do not do kiruv. Says the Gemara. Kinoch nafshi de Rav Zeira. When Rav Zeira died, Ami they said, Adu idna havi charicha katan shaki davi boilan rachme. You know, as long as Rav Zeira was alive, the short person with burnt thighs used to daven for us. And every time we needed a Yeshua, we would have a Yeshua. But hashto, now that Rav Zeira, that short person with burnt thighs, we'll get back to that in a moment. Man boyalon rachme. Who's going to daven for us? Says the Gemara. Hiru bili bayu. They had a Hiru tshuva, v'avdu tshuva, and they did tshuva. And this is Rav Zeira l'shitasai. Rav Zeira who believed, v'yorech esreach begodov, al tikre begodov, elo boigdov, that even the boigdin, even the balavera, even the person that the rabbanon feel no one should have anything to do with, but v'yorech esreach begodov. Rav Zeira was able to see positive in them. Rav Zeira was able to see a pintle yid. He was able to see a neshama underneath all of that. And Rav Zeira, against the protest of the Rabbanon, went and he was Makar of them. And even though he didn't have any success being Makar of them while they were alive, while he was alive, but after he died, they had a hira tshuva. And at the end of the day, v'avdu tshuva, we'll get back to that. So the Mishnah said, Shalosh Shuras, there were three Shuras of Tamid HaChamim that were Yoshvin Lifneim. Amar Abaya, Abaya said that from the way that the Mishnah described this whole situation of taking a member of the Shurais and adding him to the Sanhedrin, everybody moved up a seat. Shema minoki, 90-90. Everybody would move one seat. Freit de Gemara, if somebody was going to go from the second row to the first row, so everybody moves up one seat, means there's somebody who was sitting in the first seat on the second row, and now he's going to be sitting on the last seat of the first row. There was someone who was sitting on the first seat in the third row, and now he's going to be sitting on the last seat of the second row. Freit de Gemara, why can't he say, Adu idna habi yisiv nebereisha, hashtem esvizalei betanvi? He has like a koyach hataina. He says, I just got a really bad deal. You think I moved up? I think I moved down. I was the knacker. I was sitting seat one, albeit in the second or the third row, and now I'm sitting on the last seat of the row. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Amri Le, we tell him, Hochi, Hevi Zonov La Royas, Faltihi Roish Lashor. We quote a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that it's better to be a tail to a lion than to be the head of the fox. Meaning, it's true that you went from being the first to being the last, but you went from being the first to an inferior row, and now you're the last of a superior row, and this is going from being Reish L'Shu'alim to Zon of La'Royos, and that's what they would tell him. It's interesting, I think. You know who's the one that said this Mishnah? Have you Zon of La'Royos, Valti Reish L'Shu'alim? So it's Perik Dal Mishnah Tezvav and Berkei Avos. It's Rav Masiyo ben Chorosh. We had Rav Masiyo recently. We had the Gemara that discussed where different Tanoim had their Bezdin. And the Gemara said, Holach Achar Roimi. Go to Roimi if you want to go to Rav Masiyo's court. And we mentioned at the time that essentially you don't find a lot of Gedolim living in Rome. Josephus lived in Rome. We spoke a little bit about it, but it's not something that was very often. The Gedolim lived either in Bavel or they lived in Eretz Yisrael. Madai, Parasu Madai, but Rome is not something you find. It could be Rav Masiyo was saying on himself, meaning he lived in Rome, and in Rome he was clearly the Roish L'Shu'alim. Now Rav Masiyo was a Tana, he probably would have been a Roish had he lived in Eretz Yisrael as well. But if he's one of La Roish, Valti Roish L'Shu'alim, it could be, if you're familiar with Rav Masiyo and where he lived, this was a little bit of a krecht. He's stuck in Rome, that's where he is. But regardless, a very interesting Gemara. So before we go weiter, so we had this idea that the Gemara proved from three different places that a Yid, even if he's a Balavera, even if he's not holding necessarily in the proper Madrega, but you find a Yid is a Yid, the Pintel Yid, at the end of the day, he is someone that is a Bal Madrega. Whether it's learned out from Shut Suga B'Sheishanim, that Afilu Suga K'Sheishanim, Lo Yifutze Van Protzois, or whether it's learned out from Afilu Reikonim Shabach, Mleim Mitzvahs Kerimoin, Reb Zeira learned in Vayorech Esreich, Begadav, Atirku Begadav, Elo Boigdav. And then the Gemara told the story with Reb Zeira. The Reb Zeira had these Beryonim that the Rabbanim didn't want to have anything to do with. Reb Zeira went out of his way, he was Makar of them. He had no success being Makar of them while he was alive. But after he died, they had this Hira Tshuva. They said, as long as Reb Zeira was alive, Reb Zeira took care of us. Now he's not alive anymore. Who's going to take care of us? And the Gemara says that Hiru Bilibayu Va'avdu Tshuva. Now the Gemara said that when Reb Zeira died, they said, Ad ho'idno havi charicha katan shaki. Rashi says, what does it mean, charicha katan shaki? Reb Zeira was short, katan. As a matter of fact, some say that Reb Zeira and Rab Zeira, with an ayin that's mentioned throughout Talmud Yerushalmi, is the same person. We know Rab Zeira lived originally in Bavel, and then he went up, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Rab Zeira was the one that said, Avir to Eretz Yisrael, Machim. So there's many Gemaras that talk about Rab Zeira going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rab Zeira was from the Talmud Bav, from the Chachme Bavel. He was also from the Chachme Eretz Yisrael. So Rab Zeira, Zayin Yud Reish Aleph, that's when he was in Bavel. And Rab Zeira is when he was in Eretz Yisrael. What does Zeira mean? It means small. Rab Zeira was a short person. He also had burnt thighs. We're going to see the rest of the story in a minute. And in a derogatory, l'chura way, these Brinyonim referred to Rab Zeira not as the great Gadol Hador Rab Zeira, but as the short person who was a chiger. He used to limp, Chazal say, because of the fact that his thighs were burnt. But the bottom line is they seem to have spoken to him in a derogatory way. What's interesting is this Gemara Masech, this Brachis, Daf Mem Vav Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Rab Zeira Cholash, Rab Zeira was sick. Ol gabei Rab Avo. Rab Avo went to be Mavak L'Choylo Rab Zeira. Kabel Oleo, when he went to Rab Zeira, he was Mekabel. He said, Imiftach Ketina Charech Shaki. If the short person who has these burnt thighs is going to have Rufu Shalema, Avidna Yemetav L'Rabbana. I'm going to make a big suda for all the rabbis. Itfach. And the Gemara says Rab Zeira had a refuah, and Rab Avo now hosts on behalf of Rab Zeira a suda saida. Says the Gemara, Avat suda sa lekudu Rabban Kimata, the Mishri, when it came time to break bread, literally, Amalei the Rab Zeira, so Rav Avo turned to Rab Zeira, he said, Lishulan mar, be mechabed, say hamoitzi for everybody. Amalei. So Rab Zeira told Rab Avo, Le sovel amar lehod amar Rab Yechanon, don't you mar, Rab Avo. Don't you know what Rabbi Yechanan said, Balabayas Baitseya, that it's the Balabayas, the host is the one that's supposed to lead everybody with the Hamaitzi. And you, Rabbi Avo, you're the one hosting the party. I may be the guest of honor, but you're hosting the party. Sharalu, Kimat Levruchim, when it came time to bench, the same exchange. Amalei Nevarach Lanmar. So Rabbi Avo turned to Rabbi Zeir, he said, you want to lead us in benching? Amalei, Lo Yisavah Lamar Lahadam Rav Huna. Don't you know what Rav Huna said? Baitseya Mevarach. And the Gemara says, Iyukum on Tzvirle, there was a whole Lamdish Shaila here. Who was considered the Balabayas? Was Rabbi Avo the Balabayas because he was hosting the party? Who was Rab Zeira the Baal Bayis because the party was being made on behalf of Rab Zeira? But what's interesting is that you see that Rab Avo also referred to Rab Zeira as the Ketina who's a charech shaki. Interesting. Seems to be derogatory. There's another Gemara in the Sechtes Erevin, Tav Chofches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Rav Zeru, Ki Avicholish Migirsei, when Rav Zeru was very weak, Hava Ozel, the Yosef Apiskel Rav Yehuda Barami, he would go sit at the doorstep of Rav Yehuda Barami. Omar, he would say, Ki Nafki V'aylu Rabbonon, when the Rabbonon come in and out, Eka Mikamayu, that Kabel Bu Agro, let me stand up for them, I'll get Schar for standing up with him. And the Gemara says a story, there was a child that walked in, the yeshiva bacher, and he got involved in a shayla. What bracha do you make on this? What bracha do you make on that? It's a birchas hanenin. So you tucked away in the sechtes erevin, daf chav ches amid beis. The Gemara talks about Rav Zeru, who was sick. He was so sick, it got to the point where he couldn't even learn. And during those times that he couldn't learn, he said, I can't learn Torah. Let me at least have some sheiches to Torah. So I'll sit in front of the Beis Medrash, and with all the bachrim and the yungalite walk in and out of Beis Medrash, let me at least express my kavod Torah. Let me at least stand up for them. So you have Gemaras where Rav Zeru was sick. Erevin Chavches Amid Beis. That's this Gemara over here. Brachas, Mem Vav Amid Aleph. You also have this idea that Rav Zeru was short, and he had burnt himself somehow to the point where it was difficult for him to walk. Clearly, these things are all interrelated. So, what's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is the Gemara Bava Metzio, Daf Pei Hei Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there says that Reb Zeru ki solik l'Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned before Reb Zeru lived in Bava, but he made Aliyah with Mesiris Nefesh. He ran Aliyah and he goes to Eretz Yisrael. And when he arrived, Yosef Neya Tanesa. He fasted 100 tanesim. The lishtakach gemara bavlo mina. He wanted to forget Talmud Bavli. Gihechi gloy nitrude. Yosef mei achranisa. He fasted another 100 tanesim. The lishkav Rabbi Elazar b'shnei. So the Rabbi Elazar shouldn't die. Why did Rabbi Zeru not want Rabbi Elazar to die? So the Quran gives an interesting reason, because he was afraid that all the mili de tzibura would fall on him, and he didn't want to get involved in mili de tzibura. The Yosef mei achrino, and then he fasted another 100 tanesim. Gloy nishlat beim nura de gehenim. So that one day, after 120, Gehenim, the fire of Gehenim, shouldn't have any shlita on him. The Gemara says, Kol talsin yoimin habibadik nafshei. Every 30 days, he would sit down in a fire to test, to see whether he would get burnt. If he would get burnt, that would be a sign that maybe one day he's going to be burnt from the ish of Gehenim. If he was able to sit in the fire and nothing would happen, that meant that one day he would be okay as well. Says the Gemara, Shagar Tanuri would take a fire, Salak, V'yosab Gabay, V'lay have a Shalta Be'nura. Nothing would happen. Yoy Mechad, one day, Yavabay Rabbanon Hinnah. The Rabbanon saw what he was doing. They gave him an Ayin Hara, the Ichr Chushake, and his thigh is burnt. V'karulay, and from that day on, they would call him Katan Charashake. That's where he got this name. So Rav Zeru fasted many tanesim. He also had this interesting minig where he would sit in a fire. Presumably that's how he became sick. But it's interesting, that's where he gets this name of the Katan, who's a Charech Shaki. I'll just tell you a few interesting ha'aras. Number one, with regards to the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Let's start with the Gemara that we just learned. So Rav Zeru used to sit down in a fire. So we've spoken about this at great length. We won't go into the detail, but we've spoken about this just to remember the Marma Kaimis. And that is that how is Rav Zeru able to be Chayvo Ba'atzma? We know the Rambam says that just like you're not allowed to be Chayvo Ba'acherim, you're not allowed to be Chayvo Ba'atzma either. It's based on the Sugya Bava Kama, Dav Tzadik Aleph. So how could Rav Zeru have done this to himself? Now the truth is that back in the day, around the same time that Rav Zeru lived, there were other Amirom that they used to prava sigufim. So sigufim were very prominent 500-600 years ago. Gilgul Sheleg, right? We've spoken about the Tshuvas Noidim Yehuda. There were different, the Kubalim and Tzfas, there were different sigufim where people would torture themselves. They believed that by torturing themselves, they would be able to spear themselves Eish of Gehenna, which is exactly what Rav Zeru seems to be doing. But the Gemara says that Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef, the two famous Sumas and Shas, how did they become blind? Because they had been makabal on themselves never to look outside of the Dalet Amos. They couldn't keep it the subway night. They made themselves blind. How are you allowed to make yourself blind? Aren't you being over on this Isser to be Chayvo Ba'atzmi? This Gemara is in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara talks about it. So this is where we've spoken about. Rav Moshe talks about this idea in many tshuvas. Are you allowed to go on a diet? Plastic surgery, give blood. So in many different contexts, Rav Moshe discusses being chayvo ba'atzmai and different parameters as it relates to that. But ein beis medrash b'lo chiddush. And that is, we mentioned this Gemara over here in Brachas Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Rav Zeru was sick. Ol gabei Rabavo, kabel aleh. Rabavo was mekabel on himself. He said that if the short person with these burnt thighs is going to get better, avidna yoyim matav l'rabon. I saw the Chida asks that why did Rabavo not just say Imitfach Rav Zeru? So the truth is, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says that's what they used to call Rav Zeir. For whatever reason, that's what they used to call Rav Zeir. But his kasha is that, why over here did he say, imitvach ketina charech shaki? Why didn't he just say more simply, imitvach Rav Zeir? Says the Chidah, that it could be the reason is, because when somebody is sick, there's an idea to be ma'orer, schusim, that person has. And why did Rav Zeir have the Charech Shaki, where did it come from? It came from the fact that he was on such a madrega that he would sit in a fire to see if one day Esh of Gehenim was going to be shailed in him. So Rab Zeira wasn't just an ordinary person. There were a lot of people named Zeira. But Rab Zeira had ascended above all other people by being a tremendous father. And this nickname of Ketina Charech Shaki, as derogatory as it may at first glance have seemed to be, but it also suggested the greatness of Rav Zeira, and says the Chidah, Rav Avoh wanted to be Ma'orer, the greatness. It's interesting, by the way, you know, the Gemara says Rav Avoh was one of the handsomest men to ever live, right? Remember the Gemara? Shufrid, Rav Avoh was main Shufrid, the Yaakov Avinu main Shufrid, Adam Arishan. There's four people, Rashi throughout Chas called Rav Yechanan. It's a Pal de Garashi, because the Gemara Bavantzia, Pei, Talim and Aleph says really Rav Yechanan wasn't in that cheshm, so he didn't have a beard. But the point is, Rav Avoh was mentioned there. So here you have Rav Avoh, who's someone that the Gemara says when he would walk by the Bay Kesar, all the women would come out, they would sink to him. They would literally, but and here you have Rav Avoh who walks in, he sees Rav Zeira and he refers to Rav Zeira as the Ketina Charech Shaki. It's interesting. But either way, that's what the Chidah says. He wanted to be Ma'ir the Schus. What came to mind was the Gemara says in the Sechtes Brachis, Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, says the Gemara, Om Rav Chizda, Kal Mavaki Shrachim Al Chaveir, if somebody's dominating for his friend, Ain Tzarech Lahaske Shmoy, doesn't have to mention him by name. How do you know that? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, Moshe never says Miriam Bas Yecheved, right? She never kill no, refund no love, like Kamakish, Mother Miriam. He never mentioned Miriam's name. So it says, Rav Chizda, Chal Mavachish, Rachim Al Chaveira, in Tzarech Lahaskish, Magan Avram brings this to Shulchan Aruch, but the Magan Avram, we've spoken about this, Magan Avram brings this to Shulchan Aruch, and the Magan Avram says it's only true if you're in front of the Chayla. But if you're not in front of the Chayla, it doesn't work that way. If you're not in front of the Chayla, at that point, you would have to mention the Chayla by name. The Chassam Sofer, in the Sechtes Sedarim, Daf Nema Maral, those are the sugyas of Bikur Chayla. Says the Chassam Sofer that the Mekubalim say that really, when a person davens for a Chayla, and he mentions the Chayla's name, I'll read to you his Lashon, Kosva Mekubalim, Yesh Baskora Shmoy Ktsas Hisoiris Hadin Olav. And afal pi shall be komakim karv l'scharei de tefila. Even though it's a good thing to daven for a chayla, mikomakim lefavim ikak tzas hefsid al yidei askar shmoy. When you mention a chayla's name, it could be ma'orer dinim. Says the Chassam Sofer, based on what the Magen Avraham says, based on this Gemara Brachos Lamed Aleph Mevav, that if you daven in front of the chayla, you don't have to be masker his name. It comes out that it's actually better to daven in front of a chayla than it is to daven not in front of the chayla. Because if you get a daven shalei b'fnei a chayla, you're gonna have to mention his name. By mentioning his name, even though it's karev l'schar, but there's also ktsas hefsid al yidei askar shmoy that can come from it. So it's not so good. It's not so good. If you're going to daven in front of the chayla, ain't tzarech lahaskir shmoy. That's this gemara. Of ain't tzarech lahaskir shmoy. Then you don't have to worry about the ktsas hefsid. So says the Chassam Sofer, based on what the Mekubalim said, and based on what the Magen Avraham paskins, al pi the Gemara Brachos Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, it's better to daven in front of the chayla than to daven shaloi b'fnei achayla, because in front of the chayla you don't have to mention the chayla's name, and if you don't mention the chayla's name, you don't have to worry about the ktsas hisayris of din that may come about when you're davening for the chayla. So maybe it's very gishmak. Rav Avoh was saying a shtikl tfilo imitvach. If Rav Zeira is going to have, didn't want to mention Rav Zeira by name. He didn't want to mention his name. So what did he do? He referred to Rav Zeira with a nickname. But without actually mentioning his name, because maybe by mentioning his name, there would be a ktsas hisayris bedin. Just one other aura. I'll tell you something interesting that came to mind. I forgot all the Gemaras. Just one other interesting thing. That is, Rav Zeira, who's Rav Zeira's Baal Plukta in Shas? Who's Rav Zeira's Baal Plukta in Shas? It's Rabba and Rav Zeira. Right? Rabba and Rav Zeira always come together. So Rabba, we've spoken about this a lot, most recently, Bava Metzia, Pei Dalim and Aleph. So Rabba was someone that did not have a very good approval rating amongst his congregants. He wasn't so popular. And the reason is, he used to give sharfa teichacha. He used to speak very, very stark. He spoke out once, that the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pei Vav and Aleph, I have a Bava Metzia here. So the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pei Vav and Aleph, that when Rabba passed away, nobody knew he had died. Remember, Rabba was running away from the Persians, and he was in a swamp somewhere. And the Gemara tells this story of they were learning in Masifta Derekiah, the sugya, and Baharis Lavan comes first, if the Seir Lavan comes first. Bottom line is, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni is Nisbakish, B'yeshiva Shal Milo, nobody knows where it is. Even his great Talmidim Abai Verov had no idea where Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was. And then finally, the Gemara says, a baskel came, something fell from Shemayim, they finally know where he is. And the Gemara says, they start being maspid Rabbi. Says the Gemara, Nafal Pisco, during the Shiva on Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, a tzetela came down from Shemayim and said as follows, Kala Poiresh, anybody who goes away and is not maspid Rabbi, Yehi Benidui, is going to be put in Cheir. It's unbelievable. They had to send a piska to say that if someone isn't maspid Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, the Gadol Adar properly, he's going to be benidoy. Demis is Gemara Masech de Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis Amar Aleph, where the Gemara, Rabbi turns to his Talmud Abaya and he says, when I die, who's going to be maspid me? The Gemara was there talking about Hespedim, and Rabbi himself realized, who's going to be maspid me? I think it was Abaya who told it to Rabbi. So Rabbi told Abaya, if you and Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas are maspid me, then I'm going to be okay. It's fine. I don't need the whole world to be maspid. I need two good Hespedim, and everything is going to be fine. Right? The Gemara says, in Shabbos Kufnun Vavim Ralef, that Hayman, anyone that's born in Mazel Madam, anyone that's born during the constellation of Madam, which is Mars, is going to be a person that's going to be tough, he's going to kill people. So the Gemara says that Abaya told Rabbah, you born in Mazel Madam? Where it says, yeah, it's true. And that's why Rabbah, the Gemara says, also was someone that caused blood to flow. Who did Rabbah kill? Reb Zeira. Come, Rabbi Shachtel, Rabbi Zeir. So that's a little bit about Rabbi. Again, I don't have the Gemara in front of me. But Rabbi, you find this idea, this was Gemara in the beginning of Perek Shtei Daini, where Rabbi was very tough with his chevra. Rabbi Zeir had a very different approach. Rabbi Zeir just learned the Gemara. There were Biryoinim, who nobody wanted to have anything to do with. The lowest of the low. The Rabbanu were upset at Rabbi Zeir. Why are you mekayem these people? And Rabbi Zeir showed love to them. He was a oyev es abriyos u'mekarev l'Torah. And he had no success during his lifetime. But after he died, they realized that till now, they had like the Baal Shem Tov. He was the Rebbe of the Ganovim. He says, we had a Rebbe. Now he says, who do we have? We have nobody to look up to. And they had a hear a tshuva, and they taka did tshuva. See, you have Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir that come together. But now you have a little bit of the personalities. Rabbi rules with an iron fist. He had one approach. He was Maimit Talmidim Harbe, Abaye, Rava. Rabbi Zeir takes a slightly different approach. The reason I thought this was interesting is because whenever there's a machleik, is Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir, who's the halacha like? So the Ramban says in his Melchames, it's in the third parak of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, that whenever there's machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, v'loy itmer hilchas aloy kamar, v'loy kamar, the halacha is like Rabbi Zeira. And says the Ramban, why? He says because Rabbi Zeira outlived Rabbi a little bit, not the first time, because the first time Rabbi killed Rabbi Zeira, but some faith in Mo, when he came back alive. So Rabbi Zeira outlived Rabbah. He says, not just that, Rabbi Zeir made Aliyah, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He had Avir there to Yisrael Machkim, whereas Rabbah remained in Bavel. Rabbah never had Avir there to Yisrael Machkim. But I was thinking that in light of their personalities, it could be it's related to the same reason why the Allah is like Bisulov Bisham. Why is the Allah like Bisulov Bisham? So it's a Gemara in Erevin. You'd give along days. It has more to do with the midos of Beis Hillel, and less to do with the Torah of Beis Hillel. To the contrary, Beis Shammai was mechadad itfei. But Beis Hillel were noichin ve'inun oilvim. It's a mefurish gemara. You can look it up. We know all the stories of Masechta Shabbos. We heard them as little boys. Where Hillel, Erev Shabbos, people driving him crazy. But he was a savlan. His midas toivis to every single person. The ger that says, teach me kol ha-Torah kula regel achas. Where Hillel took the time. So Reb Zeira has these midas. He's from the camp of Hillel. Whereas Rabbah seems to be more from the camp of Shammai, but the Ramban says that the halacha would be like Rav Zeira over Rabbah, perhaps in the same exact light, that the halacha is like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. There's more to talk about, but Zok the Mishnah right there. Ketzad ma'ayman es ha'edin. So in the first parak, in the third parak, previous parak, so we had the process of how the Dayanim would intimidate Eidim for Dine Mamonis. Now Dine Mamonis, there's not that much at stake, a couple of dollars. But it's not the same as Dine Nevashas, where a person's life is at stake. So Kate said, Naiman Esa Eidim, obviously the intimidation process was a little bit more intense, says the Gemara, very much so. They would take the Eidim, they would bring them into a room, and they would start talking to them. They would say, Shema Taimru Mu'umit, are you really sure that you saw Reuven kill Shimon, for example? Or you just think so. Mu'umin, milashin umdana. You're making your best guesstimate. Or no, you really saw it. Or mishmua. Did you see it? Or maybe somebody else told you. It was maybe Amy P.A. Or umipi adam neva. Maybe you heard it from somebody really chashiv. I don't care. You have to make sure that you saw it yourself. Maybe you don't realize that we're about to learn the fifth parak in a few days, and we're going to learn about the drushas v'chakiras. You realize this is going to be a very intense cross-examination process. You may think, yeah, you walk in, you say, Eidus, Bezen accepts it, boom. Big deal. No. Pishnai Meir Yakum Dover is a very gross oversimplification of what this process is going to be about. And they would tell that to the Eidim. So in the event that you're not ready to be cross-examined, now would be a good time to leave. Have you Eidim? They would tell him, Shalik Yudine Mominus, Dine Nefashis, Dine Mominus, Adam Leysa Mominus, Chapele, Dine Mominus, if you're going to cause someone to lose money who's not supposed to lose money, you can always make him whole. How? By writing a check. But Dine Nefashis, when it comes to Dine Nefashis, if you cause an innocent man to die, Domai, his blood, Vidam Zaros of the blood of his children, Boy, I'd say for Olam, I'm going to be on your places. She came out seen of a Kayin Shargas Achim. And you know where you see that? From Kayin, who killed his brother, Hevel. By the way, this one line is going to take us into two blood of Agada to Gemara in the next couple of days. She Nemar called the Meo Chicho Tzoyak. After Kayin kills Hevel, so Hashem tells Kayin, Kol the Meo Chicho Tzoyak. I hear the voice, the sounds of the blood of your brother, they're calling out to me. Says the Mishnah. It didn't say dam in the singular, elo d'meyachicha in the plural. What does that mean? Damoy v'dam zarois adavaracha. Another pshat meyachicha sheyadomi mushach aleitzim avonim. Because Hevel's blood was splattered all over eitzim avonim. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Lefichach says the Gemara nivra adam yichidi, and that's in fact why man was created. See, Hashem didn't create two people. Hashem created one person. L'amedcha to teach shekolam abe nefesh achis miyisrael malu olav akosov ki'ilu ibeit oylam mole. You know why Hashem created one person? Why not create two people, three people, 10 people, create a minion, obis medrash? Why one person? To show the value of one person. That the entire world came from one person. And to teach us that kolam abe nefesh achas miyisrael malu olav akosov ki'ilu ibeit oylam mole. By the way, says the mission goes in the reverse as well. V'kolam mekayim nefesh achas miyisrael malu olav akosov ki'ilu kayim oylam mole. Neshalom abriyas. By the way, another reason, says the Mishnah, why man was created yichidi, because of shalom. Shalom adam l'chaveiroi. Because let's say Hashem would have created two people. It would be Adam and then it would be somebody else. So one day, people may fight. They would say, Abba Gadol Me'avicha. You know, I come from Adam, you come from the other person, my father was bigger than your father, etc. Another reason, Shlayu Amina Ma'ibrim, Habri Yeshua Special Mayim. The pagans, the people that believed in many gods, will say, oh, you know, there's not one God, there's many. One created Adam, the other one created this person. Another reason, a person can make many coins with one mole. But kulam daimin zalazeh, they're all the same. He created every single person with the same mole. And no two people are the same, says the Mishnah. Okay. So we're being ma'ayim these Edei Nefashis, and we're explaining to him how serious the Edei Nefashis is. Realize, we tell him, that if you're going to cause an innocent person to die, you are going to have to carry on your conscience the fact that not only did a man die, but potentially an oylam mole died. How do I know that? Shekei matzino b'kayin. Shaharagas achiv. And what does the pasuk said? Not koil dam ochicha, but rather koil demei ochicha tzayakim. It's demei, it's lashon rabin. It's not just hevel, but it's all the descendants, everyone that came from Hevel. And by the way, says the Mishnah, realize therefore that kolam abe nefesh achas mi Yisrael kilu ibed oylam mole. Says the Mishnah, lefichach. It's for that reason, kol echad ve'echad chayiv loyim. A person has to say b'shvili nivra oylam. So we'll speak more about this tomorrow. B'shem b'taimru. If you're going to say malod latzar azoyz, so the Edom are listening to the Shmuz, and you know what they may say? Who needs this? Malod latzar azoyz. Tap Rashi. Lahachnas reishenu b'daiga azoyz. Afilo lem. Listen, I know I saw Reuven kill Shimon, but you know what? You're spooking me out. What do I need to say this for? Says the Mishnah, no. Chuvasei b'tzidoi. V'alei kfar nemav u'edai ro'a yoda im lo'yagiv anas avoyne. If you know Edus and you don't testify, you get an avera. V'shem ha'tomer, but the Mishnah continues. Ma'lonu lochuv b'domei sholzeh. Meaning, maybe I'll just take the avera. You know what? It's worth it. Let me do the avera. I'll be over v'im lo'yagiv anas avoyne. But I'm still not interested in causing a person to die. Zach t'gimor no. V'alei kfar nemav avoyne. It's not true. sure, because to the extent that this person deserves to die, then he should die. Right? There is an idea of killing a person that's guilty. We just don't want to kill someone that's innocent. So we would spook him on the one hand, right? That's that balancing act that we've been talking about. On the one hand, but a biyar tara at the same time. So the Edom had to realize that if you're telling the truth, then to the contrary, this is something that we want you to do. It's only in the event that you're not telling the truth, that's where it's nageya, that make sure that you don't lie, because kol dimeya chichatzai kemei lie, kol ma'abi nefesh achis miyisrael kilu ibet oyla mali. Zok tigamar, tanu rabban on ketzim umit. So one of the things that they would tell the Edom is, did you really see Reuven kill Shimon? Or does it just look like Reuven killed Shimon? Meaning, there was very strong circumstantial evidence that Reuven killed Shimon, but you didn't actually see him. So they would tell him, Shema Kachrisim, they've given an example of Mu'umad. Maybe you saw as follows. You saw Reuven chase Shimon into a churva. You ran after him, umatzasem, and by the time you got there, you saw Reuven holding a sword. The dame metafte, blood was dripping down the sword. Vahari, Mefarfin, there was a man dying, literally gasping for his last breaths on the side. And that's maybe what you're coming to tell us, that you know Reuven called Shimon. But in Kachri Isen, Bezin would tell him, Isen Kulub, as Garnish Kesen. You didn't see anything, because that's not enough. That's circumstantial evidence. It's pretty good evidence. And as we'll see later in Dine Mominus, maybe that would work, but not in Dine Nefashis. It has to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And when it comes to Dine Nefashis, that's not considered beyond a reasonable doubt. Tanya Amar Reb Shimon Shetach, Ere ben Echama im lo yiro isi. I once saw Echad Sheratzach Chaver L'Churv. I saw somebody, this exact story. Somebody chased his friend into a churv. Ratz the Achar, I ran after. Ro isi, Saif Biyodah, I saw he was holding a sword. V'damim metavtev, and blood was dripping down the sword. V'haruv mefarfer, and there was a man who was literally dying. Vamarti lois, I turned to this person who was holding the sword. I say, Rasha, mi harga lezeh. Who killed this man on the side? Oh, yeah, it was either me, oh, yeah, ta, or you. And it wasn't me. Avol ma esa, what should I do? Shein domach masa biyadeh. I can't kill you. Shari yomer teir, because the Torah says, al pishnayim edem yumas ames. It's mashma, by the way, if there was another person that would have seen it, then maybe they could have killed him. I ain't toast this. But either way, Hayodeya Machshavos, Hashem Mechetach tells him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows everything, Yifra Meyoysa Ish Haragas Chaveri. Let him kill. Let him take matters in his own hand. And let the guilty person die. Amru, it is said, that Loizaz Misham Ancheba Nachash, that right there and then, before they had a chance to leave the scene of the crime, a snake came, Vehikisha, it bit this person, Umes, and he died. A moifus. But says the Gemara, the high bar nachashu, did this person deserve to die by snake? Even though we don't have Sanhedrin anymore, Arba Mises Lebatl. But there's still Arba Mises Bezin. So there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's Arba Mises Bezin. This is what Rav Yosef said. Frek the Gemara, Lebatl, Vabatl. What do you mean? Arba Mises Bezin was loy batlu. Of course there was no Arba Mises Bezin. Elo says the Gemara din Arba Mises loy batlu. The concept of Arba Mises Bezin wasn't batlu. How so? Mishin is chayv skilo. If somebody is chayv skilo, you know from an agag, either he falls from a roof, oy chaya darsasai, or an animal knocks him down and tramples over him, which was the equivalent thereof of what skilo was. Mishin is chayv sreif. If someone doesn't have very food, he's chayv sreif. Oy noifel with a lake, or he loy later and gets burnt in a fire. Oy nachash makishai, or a snake bites him and he dies from the poison of the snake, which is the equivalent of sreifa. Mishan is chayv hariga, someone that deserved saif, deserved to be beheaded. Oy nachash, oy nimsal malchus, either he'd be handed over to the melech, that's how the malchus would kill people. Oy listen by nolav, or listen would come and they would slit his throat. Mishan is chayv chenek, someone that deserved to choke to death. He's like chenek. Oy tevei benon, he would drown. Oy meis pesrunki, that was a disease that people would choke to death. But either way, Rav Yosef said that even though there's no Arba Mises Bezdin, that's obvious, but din Arba Mises Leibatl, the concept of Arba Mises Bezdin still applies. So someone that would have been Chai of Mises Bezdin back in the day, today will die al yidei the equivalent of Mises Bezdin. By the way, if you take a look at Taisus says, how come we don't see it that way? So Taisus says, because sometimes there's an idea that Hashem allows Rishoyim to live out their life on this world, meaning if it's Misa B'deyal, then Bezin has to do what Bezin has to do. They don't have a choice. They can't be flexible. They can't say, you know what, let this person do tshuva. But in Shamayim, even though technically there is a din, Arba Misa's Bezin, but there's already a whole different cheshman. But the bottom line is, what's the Gemara's kasha? A geshmak kasha. This person just killed somebody. If somebody kills somebody, it's Chayiv Misa's Bezin. Which one of the Dalud Misa's Bezin is a Ritzeach? Chayiv Sayiv. How did he die? A snake bit him. The Braisa just said, what is Nochash makishai, it's Sreifa. Sreifa is more chamur than Saif. So why did this person get a Nochash makishai? You know what should have happened? Listen, should have came, they should have beheaded him, and that would have been that. So why did he get Sreifa? L'chura, Sreifa is not the right thing he's supposed to get. Zakhti Gemara, Amri, this person had done another aver, and the Omer Mar Mishnah is chayv shtei mises bezdin didn't bechamura. Someone that's chayv two mises bezdin, he ends up getting which one? The one that's more chamur. So this person got the mises bezdin that was more chamur. There was a kamla b'derabimine, and just like this kamla b'derabimine, when it comes to mises bezdin, you give him the more chamur. When it comes to the din arba mises bezdin leibatlu, there's a kamla b'derabimine as well. So a fascinating story that ties into the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that if the Eidei Nefashis have very strong circumstantial evidence, it doesn't matter. They have to see the actual act of the murder, but anything beyond that is not considered Eidos, and that was one of the things they would tell the Eidim. Did you see it, Mu'umid? And even if you saw this accused person go into a churva, there was no one else there. He was holding a sword, there was blood on his sword, if they did a DNA test, but there was blood on his sword, and this person is dying on the side. You didn't see anything. That's Mu'umid. That wouldn't be enough. But it's interesting, the Gemara mentioned over here, Din Arba Mises Bezin Lei Batlu. So this is something that comes up a lot. If you want to refer back to Shurim, I think we spoke about this at length in the Sechta Soita Daf Ches Amud Beis. We should probably make that into a raid by. But there's a lot of interesting halacha that comes from just a few others, the Ein Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush. Number one, Tosfos asks Akasha that why did Rabbi Yosef say Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash? The day the Beis HaMikdash was Charav, even though the Sanhedrin became bottle, but then Arba Mises Bezim Lai Bottle. Tosfos says, if you know a little bit of history, you know that the Sanhedrin stopped giving Mises Bezdin a little while before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara says 40 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin left the Lishka Sagazis and they went into exile. They would go into 10 exiles. But they left the Lishka Sagazis. And the only time they were able to give Mises Bezdin is if they were sitting at the Lishka Sagazis. The Gemara says, Malamich HaMokam Goyim. They had to be sitting in the Mokam HaMikdash in order for them to be able to give Mises Bezdin. Azoizak the Gemara. So Tosfos says, why is it Miyoyim Shechara Beis HaMikdash? It was even 40 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash that Arba Mises Bezdin was Leibato. It didn't take until the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, but it was already 40 years earlier. So it should have said from the time that the Sanhedrin went into Golos, Afal Pisha Batlu Arba Mises Bezdin Din Arba Mises Bezdin Loi Batlu. As I freak Tosfos. So Tosfos says V'yesh Loi Bar, that even though it's true Bezdin went into Golos 40 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, because Makam, however, Kishayu Royim Tzarech Shah, if they felt it was a need to go back to the Lishkas Agazis to kill somebody, Lishkas Agazis, Kahi Uvdor Kiyaitzavai, if there was a need to go back, they would go back. So it's true that they weren't in the Lishkas HaGazis anymore, which would seem to suggest, back to the envelope arithmetic, if you can only give Mises Bezin for Lishkas, and they're not there, so you can't give Mises Bezin. It's not true. They only weren't there permanently. But if they wanted to go back, if they felt it was necessary, they would. I saw the Margolis Yam. He says it could be the reason is, because before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot of anarchy. A lot of people were dying, and people were being Mechal Shabbos. They were doing a lot of terrible aveiros. And if the Sanhedrin would have been sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, they would have been killing a lot of people. And we know Bezin never wanted to kill people. It was something that was considered a big b'dieved. See, he says maybe a theory they purposely left the Lishkas HaGazis, so they shouldn't be obligated to have to start prosecuting everybody and start issuing capital punishment left and right. But if they felt it was something that they needed to do, they would do it. Tosfos at the end says another. It's a big Tosfos for income and kamei laharach. Tosfos says that it could be at the time that there was a Beis HaMikdash. We know the Gemara says the big day kahuna were mechaper. So being that the big day kahuna were mechaper, it could be or Reitzeach, or Mechal Shabbos, or Neivet Avodah, etc. Got Kapara. It could be he got Kapara from the Big Day Kahuna. So it wasn't an issue up until Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because either Bezdin was giving Mises Bezdin, or for those 40 years, he still had the Big Day Kahuna. So it wasn't an issue. It was only Miyoyim Shechara Beis HaMikdash, with his nose, Sanhedrin giving Mises Bezdin, and you don't even have the Big Day Kahuna to be Mechaper anymore. So it could be at that point was where there was an issue. And then Tosfos says at the end, Umiyu, that even though I'm saying that it could be a Ritzeach during the 40-year interim period, got kapara from the Big Day Kahuna, Hanimil Kishasa Tshuva. It would only be true if he did Tshuva. Why is this Tosfos interesting? Because it ties into the Rambam in the beginning of the Tshuva, where the Rambam says that all the Mechapim that you find throughout Shas, whether it's Karbanis, whether it's Malkus, doesn't matter what it is, anytime you find this concept that if you do this, you get kapara, it's only with Tshuva. What's the exception? The Sar Lazazel. The Sar Lazazel, the Rambam says, was Mechapar and Averis Kalois, even without tshuva. But ordinarily, the only time a person can ever get kapara for something he did is if he did tshuva. But the bottom line is that's taisa. Important taisa is the second taisa over here on the Yom. But as it relates to din arba mises bezin lebatlu, I'll just tell you two interesting things. One, we've spoken at once at length. That would be the raid bite. And the other one, ein beis medrash b'lei chiddush. And that is that Yaakov Emdin, in a famous tshuva, in his Shelas Yaivitz, said a chiddush. There was an Eishes Ish who was mezanatachas baila, and she conceived the child. So she's now carrying a child. And the shayla was brought to the Chavos Yar, and the Yaakov Emdin discusses it in his tshuva. He wanted to be mater this woman to have an abortion. That if she wanted to abort the child, it would be okay for her to abort the child. Now, abortion is something that's aser. So how would he have allowed her to do it? So he said a tremendous chiddush. He said because she was an Eishes Ish that was mezana. And it's just that's Mizana back in the day was Chai Misa. The Gemara says, Afal Pisha Arba Misa's Bezdin Batlu, but Din Arba Misa's Bezdin Lai Batlu. She's technically still a Mechuyah Misa's Bezdin. As a matter of fact, it's very possible that she's going to die in the way that the Mechuyah Misa's Bezdin would die. The halacha was, if a pregnant woman was on death row, they would kill the pregnant woman together with the child. That means this child is a Gavra Ketola. This child technically has a psak din on it that it's Chayim Misa. If it's a Gavra Ketola, you're not a Ritzech if you killed the child and he wanted to allow abortion. That was the Chiddush. The Chiddush was because the mother's Chayim Misa. Why? Our Gemara, because Alpha Pisha, Arba Misa's Bezdin Batlu, but din Arba Misa's Bezdin Lai Batlu. So she's a Mechuyim Misa. The child is also Mechuyim Misa. The child's a Gavra Ketola. You can kill the child. You can kill the child. There'd be no problem with abortion. So Moshe Feinstein and Tshuva discusses this. Shelas Yaivitz, Reb Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer discuss it as well. It's one of the more sharfet Tshuvas of Reb Moshe when he spoke to Reb Waldenberg. He says, Hashem, Yechaper, Hashem should forgive him for a Tshuva that he wrote, maybe allowing abortion during a certain, obviously, you have to read the fine print in these Tshuvas, but he was also, Reb Waldenberg was a Pesach Adar, the Tzitz Eliezer. I mean, I don't know how many volumes of Tzitz Eliezer there are, but there are a lot of them, right? So, how many Sfarim Shaks do you need to fill up the Tzitz Eliezer? But he was also someone who was very involved in Inyanei medicine in Eretz Yisrael. But either way, so he wanted to allow abortion during certain kufis and the maturation of the fetus. Reb Moshe spoke very sharp against it. But it comes down to a Reb Yaakov Emdin. This is a big part of it. It's this tshuva right here. But the aim based medrash for Chiddush is a tshuva chasam soifer. Tshuva Chasam Sofer is in Yerideya. It's in Simen Shin Lamed Gimel. So the Chasam Sofer was asked, there was a person that was killed by Goyim. So Listim came and they killed this person. They beheaded him. And the Shaila was sent to a local Rav who forwarded the Shaila over to the Chasam Sofer. The question was, could this person be buried in a regular Beis HaKfaris or not? What's the tzadna? Because we know that the Aruge Bezin, people that were killed by Bezin, were not allowed to be buried in a regular cemetery. And we know the Gemara says that Alpha Pisha Arba Mises Bezin Batlu, but did Arba Mises Bezin Lai Batlu. And the Gemara says if someone's Chayiv Hereg, what would happen? Either he was Nimsal Malchus, or the Listim would come and they would behead him. So this person was beheaded. It's Mashma. The Shoyl argued that this person was Chayiv Herik. If he's Chayiv Herik, he's Mechuyiv Mises Bezin. Let's treat him like someone that's Chayiv Mises Bezin. If we're going to treat him like someone that's Chayiv Mises Bezin, we shouldn't be able to bury him before he's Yisrael. This is the Shaila that was sent to the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer has a raya first from Sefer Chassidim that's not the way it works. And then I'll just read to the punchline, Asher Nageil in Yoneinu. And that is, Va'oid Gam, Divrei Hani, Inchi, Ein Behem Mamish. The whole argument is a very shvach argument. Maishno Din Mises Bezin Loi Ba. What? Because this idea of din arba misa lebatu means as follows. The mishen is chayiv, sayiv, nimsal amachos. Says the Chasam Sofer. What does the Gemara say? You have to read the Gemara carefully. It says someone that was chayiv, sayiv back in the day, it could be that this person will be nimsal amachos and the malchus will kill him. It doesn't say that any person that's killed by the malchus or any person that's killed by listim, it means that he was chayiv, sayiv. It says it just the other way around. It says that if you're chayiv, sayiv, you're nimsal amachos and listim. But it doesn't say it in the reverse. Tenach, ganz gut, says the Chasam Sofer, have yom rino, misha nimsel malchus, mischayiv saif. That if someone is nimsel malchus, it means he's chayiv saif, ozo, yisi yoimer. Then I would say, klal, yeah, the Gemara is giving us a rule, that kol misha nerak bidei goyim, who may chayiv and misa's bestin. But says the Chasam Sofer, it's not what it says. It says it just the opposite. It says someone that's chayiv saif is nimsel malchus. But it's possible to be Nimsal Malchus and not Chayef Saif. So just because this person was Nimsal Malchus doesn't mean he's Chayef Saif. And says the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva v'chaverov. Rabbi Akiva, Da'asora haruge malchus. So they were nimsal malchus. Are you going to tell me they were chayiv saif? We know they weren't chayiv saif. They were tzaddikim. They were arzei alvonoin. Varuge lud. Referring, of course, to the Gemara and the end of the second paragraph, Masechtas Tainis. Papas and Lulainis. Mayikilim. They were also killed. They were nimsal malchus. Says the Chasam Sofer, it's poshit, that if a person is nimsal malchus, he has a cheskes kashus. There's no reason to assume that he's a balavera, and you're not going to be allowed to kill him. Let's just finish one more Gemara. Says the Gemara Mu'umet. So they would say, when they were ma'ayim, the edin afashis, are you sure you saw him kill him? Or was it only Mu'umet? Says the Gemara, it's mashma from the Mishnah, that only the edin afashis would they be ma'ayim, would they spook him by saying, are you sure you saw him kill him? Or maybe you're basing it on an umdana. Maybe it's just based on circumstantial evidence. Now, by dine mamanis, when they were ma'ayim, they didn't ask him that question. So what's it mashma? By dine mamanis, I'm dinon. By dine mamanis, you can use umdana. Zok the Gemara, come on, Rav Ach. This is like Rav Ach. Tanya, you learn to the Brice. Rav Ach, and Rav Ach says, gomel oicher ben agmalim. A gomel, that was oicher ben agmalim. What does oicher mean? So we actually had this Gemara not so long ago. We had this Gemara, Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Gimel Amar Aleph. The Rashbam says it a little bit more by Richas, but Rashi says it over here in Wamshad as well. It means that he was engaged in Tashmish. Vinimtsu gomel harik betzida, and there was a gomel that was dead next to it. Nobody knows who killed this dead gomel. So if you see a gomel dead on the side, and there's a gomel that's in the middle of Tashmish, Biyaduah is a harga. This must be the gomel that killed him. Who said this? Rav Ach is the one that said this. So you see that even though nobody saw the gomel kill him, it's only an umdana, but when it comes to dine mamon, it says lina basa umdana. So it's by dine nefashis, like the mice which in the chatach over there, loyos lina basa umdana. But when it comes to dine mamon, it says lina basa umdana. But the Gemara says, you have no raya that the Mishnah is Rav Ach. Why? Because vatanan, the Mishnah said, litamech, according to you, ein mepi edik tani, it says, another thing they asked the dine nefashis was, did you see him, or maybe somebody told you? Now, it doesn't say that they asked that question by Dine Mominus. Dine Nefashis, who do I am Ninan? Ha! But Dine Mominus, I'm Ninan? But now we went to the Mishnah, Im Omar, who Omar Lishani Chayv lo Ishplani Omar Lishu Chayv lo Yomar Klumachim Efenenu Haidalu Shu Chayv lo Mizayim Zuz. You see that by Dine Mominus also there's a locha of Eid Mipiye, right? It said clearly, if Eid Mominus would come, and they would say that I know Ruven Oshimimani. How do I know? Because somebody told me. It's nothing, because you yourself have to witness it. So even though it mentions Eid Mipiyed by Dina Nefashis, it doesn't mean that it doesn't apply by Dina Mominus, because we know, in fact, that it does apply by Dina Mominus. Meaning it's possible that the Mishnah is saying that when you ma'ayim the Eid Nefashis about something that applies to Dina Mominus, it's all cares. So it's not it applies by Dina Mominus. It doesn't mean you can't be ma'ayim the Eid by Eid Mominus. Alma, you see that Afal Gav Tepsili B'Dina Mominus Amrina L'B'Dina Nefashis Hachanami so to hear Afal Gav Tepsili B'Dina Mominus Amrina lahu bedine nefashis. Just conclude with one short ha'ara, and that is that gomel ha'oicher bein hagmalas. We spoke this out again when we learned Masechtas Bava Basra daf tzad gimel amenala. So the Rashbam says that it's talking about a gomel that's being oisek in tashmish amita, and says Rashi it killed the gomel on the side. That's the umdin biyodua shezeh hargoy. The Rashbam in Bava Basra adds a little bit more. He says animals, Bashash Tashmish, they get crazy. They're mishtagin. So it makes a lot of sense that they would, that this Gomel would have been the one that killed. You have some decent evidence that it might be it. But the Rishonim over there, in Masechtas Bava Basra, the Ritva, and the Ramban, and the Rashba, they all say a different shot. They say that the Gomel is a real tsunua. The Gomel is a very tsniustig animal. And because it's a tsunua, if somebody watches the Gomel while it's engaged in Tashmish Shamita, it gets very upset. It gets so upset that'll rip the person apart, it'll kill the person. And that's why it's Gomel Ha'icher Bein Agmal B'Yadua Shesai Hargai, because it's actually within the nature of the Gomel to take it personally if somebody. So that's the Umdana. Probably there was a Gomel that was watching, it got really, really upset, and went ahead and killed it. The Ritva over there quotes the Gemara. He says, that's why the Gemara says that you're supposed to learn sneers from a Gomel. Supposed to learn tznius from a gomel? You see that the gomel is a real tznua. Now the truth is that this idea, you're supposed to learn tznius from a gomel, is very shverizach, because the Gemara says in Erevin, Tafkuf Amidbez, Omer Rabbi Yechanan said, Umoli nitna Torah, had the Torah not been given, Oyinu lemeidim tznius michasul. We would learn tznius from a cat, Gezel min a mala, we learn Gezel from an ant, Arayos from a yoina, Derech Eretz mitarnagol. But you learn tznius not from a camel, you learn tznius from a cat. And here you have a ritva that says, you know what, my raya is that the gomel takes a very personal, when someone watches beside a tajik, you're supposed to learn tzniyas from a gomel. I'm supposed to learn from a cat. So that means that some rishonim say that the ritva must have had a different gersa. The ritva had the gersa, you're supposed to learn tzniyas from a gomel. But I'll just tell you one interesting thing, and again, we spoke this out at the time, and that is in Parashas Vayishlach Yaakov Mincha, Yaakov sends a present to Esav. What did he send him? Izim Masayim, Tiyashim, Esrim, Rechim, Masayim, Ve'elim Esrim, Gimalim, Meinikos, Uvneim Shloshim, Paris Abam, Parim Asar, Asayim, Esav, Vayyarim, Asar. Rashi Shtelzach, on the interesting language in the Pasuk, Gimalim, camels, Meinikos, that nurse, Uvneim, which Pasha means, and their children, Shloshim, little wordy. Says Rashi in the second shot, the Medrash Agada, Uvneim, you need Nekudais over here. It's not Uvneim, it's Baneim. It's Zohar Kenegan Nekeva. So there were Gemalim Meinikos, Gemalim that were nursing, and Baneim, and their significant others, and their spouses. Zok Rashi, why did the Pasuk not just mention the Gemalim and their husbands, and their spouses? Why are we saying it in such an interesting way? Gemalim Meinikos Uvneim, Lefisha Tzanua Betashmish, says Rashi, because the Gomel is Tzanua Betashmish, like Pirsam Yakosif. The Torah had a little covet for the Gomel, because he's a tsanua when it comes to the Indian of Zohar and Akeva, and that's why we didn't just mention the male and the female camel, but it's Gemalim Meinikos Uvneim. So this idea that's mentioned in Rishonim in Bava Basra, Tzadik Gimel Amar Aleph, it's tucked away. It's a Rashi right in the beginning. It's Parshas Vayishlach.